So the question was asked, why is it that David HaMelech has such a special role within Judaism? And especially when we take into account all the mistakes and falls that David HaMelech incurred, so how come David HaMelech is this, we say, he's the one who will be, Melech HaMashiach will come from him, and the Davidic dynasty is the reigning dynasty in Am Yisrael. I want to begin by taking a step back. If we'd ask why are Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov special, so I think we'd have an answer to that, right?
I can give answers, but I'm curious to use it.
Okay. So that deserves its own week of lessons, that Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. David HaMelech is close to that level. When we say Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Elokeinu, Elokei Avotenu, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov, we say in the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. So David asked Hashem whether he could reach the level of saying Elokei David. And Hashem said, you're not yet on the level, and you're not going to be on the level. And David questioned why, and Hashem said, they were tested, you weren't tested. David said, test me. God said, I'll test you, and you won't live up to the test. And the rest of the story is history. Nonetheless, we say Magen Abraham, and we also say Magen David. Right? We say the blessing Magen David.
Yeah.
And the Rishonim point out that even though David didn't make it up there to be one of the patriarchs, he came very close to the point where we do say Magen David. We said that really this question deserves a week's worth of lessons. So I'm doing it injustice by trying to put it all in the short few minutes that we'll have tonight. That being said, let's try to cover a few things. I don't think that's fair, no. We're in the middle. We'll deal with it next week. We find that certain people were part of God's plan from the beginning. Moshe Rabbeinu is born, the house fills with light. They come to nurse him, he doesn't nurse from the Egyptian women. There's a godly plan. Moshe has to play a certain role in world history. He has free choice. He can fail. At one point God tells him, that there can be a future without you. But the godly plan is that Moshe will be there. David is also part of the godly plan. We find that when we travel near Ammon and Moab, so God says, stay away from them, because part of the Davidic dynasty will come from Ammon, and part of the Davidic dynasty will come from Moab. Rus still has to come out of Moab. So God's already planning David HaMelech centuries earlier, half a millennium earlier. Lot and his two daughters, so Chazal say that it had to happen that way because that's the source of King David, and King David is the one that will slaughter Edom, and the Satan doesn't want King David to come to the world. So it always has to come through questionable circumstances. Lot and his daughters, Rus and Boaz. It's in the planet. There's a tremendous person that's supposed to come to the world, and we see that millennium earlier, God's already planning David HaMelech's birth. Chazal tell us that when God created the world, so he showed Adam HaRishon a book of the leaders of each generation. And then God showed him the soul of King David, who wasn't supposed to live out his first year. And very good, Shmuel. Right. The Chazal say that Adam said, such a fine specimen of the human race, he's going to die the first year. I'll give him 70 years of my life. When Adam was cursed that he would die the day he ate from the fruit, God gave that the interpretation that we have in Tehillim. Ki elef shanim be'enecha ki yom etmol. 1,000 years in God's perspective, so to speak, is just like yesterday. Adam doesn't live till 1,000. Adam lives till 930. Why doesn't he live out the 1,000? Because he took 70 years of his life. He said, God, give that to Adam. Give that to David HaMelech. So again, we see from the beginning of creation, David is in the planning. Let's go 7 days earlier. Before the creation of the sun and the moon. Lifnei Shemesh, before the sun was created, Yinun Shmo. Even before creation, God's already planning Melech HaMashiach. So we have to understand, Lifnei Shemesh, the Pasuk says, Yinun Shmo. He was given the name as the leader of the Jewish people. Mashiach's name is Yinun. Yinun, Yinun.
It was created before creation. It was only like the 7 days, right?
Right. So, so we see that part of the godly plan for the world is there will be a king. Lo yasur shevet mi Yehudah umchokek mi ben Hagnav. Ki yad al keska. There will be a hand, there will be a representation on God's throne. How's the king called? He's called a Yad. Yad is Gematria David, right? When God describes our king, God describes it as Ki yad al keska, when there will be a representation of God on the throne of Hashem, Milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek, then you have a mitzvah to take the war against Amalek. Yad is David HaMelech. David HaMelech, so to speak, is God's hand, God's representation down below. Now that we have all this introduction, we have this anticipation in the world, David is supposed to come to the world. Along comes that night. Yishai, David's father, who is one of the most pious Jews that ever lived, he never sinned a sin that was big enough to warrant his death. He died just because God decreed there should be death in the world. Yishai talks to his wife and he says, you know, I've been thinking it over. I'm not sure that we're right with this halacha of amoni v'lo amoni, ma'aviv v'lo ma'avit. I think maybe we have to split up. And they come to the conclusion that he will marry the maid instead. And Yishai's wife decides, no, it's wrong. Really, we shouldn't be doing this. She tells the maid, I know we made up. I'm going to go to my parents. You're going to be with my husband. Forget it. Leave, I'm going to be there. She tricks her husband. She gets pregnant. And her husband says, what's happening here? And she says, I tricked you. It was really me that night. And then she has a child. And that child they name David. And everyone questions the validity of this child because it's not so clear how his mother born. So David comes to the world as a questionable bastard, right? Again, the actual birth of David has to be cloaked, just like the story of Lot and his daughters and Boaz and Rus, finally Yishai and his wife. Ki avi ve'imi azavuni, David HaMelech says, for my father and mother have forsaken me. Right? You say in the David Hashem Moviv Yishi, ki avi ve'imi azavuni v'Hashem yaspeni. Hashem gathered me in. David sent out with the sheep. And then a bear comes and takes one of the sheep. And a godly spirit overtakes David. He walks up to the bear, smacks him in the face, and takes away the sheep. And then after he does that and the bear runs away, David asks himself, what overcame you? What happened? And a similar thing happens. A lion comes to the flock and grabs one of the sheep. And again, David walks up, beats up the lion, takes away the sheep, and walks away and says, what happened? How did I do that? In Sefer Shmuel, when David walks forth and says to King Saul, I want to take on Goliath. So one of the reasonings that he presents King Saul, he says in the Pasuk, Gam et ha'ari, gam et ha'dov, hikar decha. your servant has hit the lion and the bear. And I realized then, David is saying, that if God made those miracles for me, that I hit a bear and a lion, that's written clearly in the Pasuk doesn't say the story, the Pasuk mentions David's recounting of the story to King Saul, and he says, if God gave me this, he gave me a sign that I'm destined for some greatness. I knew when it happened that God was giving me a sign, be prepared. You have hidden strengths within you, and utilize them. And I think David tells Shaul HaMelech, he says to King Saul, I think the message was about today. I think the message was about now, going against Goliath. David is Admoni. He has the strength of Asa. He's red, but he's Yefeinai. He has beautiful eyes. Meaning his strength is tempered by the guidance of the Sanhedrin. The court tells him when to use his strength. Yes, David spills a lot of blood, but he spills the blood that is supposed to be spilled according to the guidance of Sanhedrin. Yeah?
Wow, I came in the morning and I heard something really interesting in Shirin. It said that, like, how Mashiach ben Yosef is a physical, Mashiach ben David is a spiritual. It says that these two forces have to be united eventually for the redemption. And I heard that David HaMelech had, like, this physical, like, he provided for the nation physically. And then, like you said, he was red. That's a sign of physical strength. Like, Isaac was. He was also red. And also, he had the eyes, like you said. That means he was Torah scholar as well, and he was spiritual. So, Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef were united.
Okay.
Could
that
be like...
Chazal say that if Shaul would have lived up to his job, Shaul would have been Mashiach ben Yosef, and David would have been the Mashiach David. If you look on the website,
Joseph's brother from Rachel, from the no, there was Leah and there was Rachel. Rachel was a physical, Leah was a spiritual.
Okay, what does that have to do with the fact that he wasn't the tribe of Ephraim or
Manasseh?
What does the word Yosef mean? So Yosef can be a reference to the tribe of Yosef. Yosef can be a reference to the children of Rachel. Or Yosef can be a reference to the northern 10 tribes. In Tanakh we find Yosef meaning all three. What? I said a second explanation, no? I said either Yosef, either one of Rachel's children, or one of the 10 tribes.
But he's also known as Mashiach ben Ephraim.
Okay.
Does Ephraim, does Ephraim,
what does Ephraim mean?
Does it denote the northern tribes?
Correct.
So. Well, that's still right. That's just explaining a guy from the southern from Judah.
Okay. So you have a good question. You have a good question. I don't think out of this we could. He brought up Mashiach ben Yosef. I don't think we should go this tangent. Good question. Next semester we'll have a Thursday night. We'll get onto this. David, we said is Admoni, we said is Yefeinayim, and David, like our great leaders before him, is a shepherd, and during the time he's with the sheep, he's growing spiritually. He's also tested with the sheep to see his caring for the sheep, and then he's chosen as the leader. So David is anointed as our first king. And David isn't perfect. David has a few errors in his lifetime, but up until David's time, the Jewish people knew that the Jewish people as a whole, when they sin, even if they've done something major wrong, like the Egel, if they do tshuva, God will accept it. David comes onto the scene and he does something major wrong. He has a major sin and he does tshuva. And he kills himself. He does everything he can to do a complete tshuva. And he teaches Am Yisrael that as bad as a person's actions might have been, even if he caused a wrongful death, even if he was behind an improper relationship, whatever he did at the end of the day, even Chilul Hashem, if he really, really does tshuva, then he can make it there. But he has to really do tshuva. You know, there was the woman who used to come to the priest every Sunday to confess about all the improper relationships she had in the past. So she'd tell him this story and that story and go into all the gory details. And then he'd say, forgiven you, forgiven, forgiven. Fine. Next Sunday, same thing. Next Sunday, same thing. Finally, he tells her, you know, we went through this last week and the week before and the week before. Why do you keep coming confessing about the same thing? She says, every time I tell it to you, I enjoy it all over again. Sometimes when we think back at what we've done, we think, gee, that was fun, that was good. It's very hard for a person to do real tshuva. Real tshuva is when a person thinks back and he says, that was terrible. I wish I would have never done that. I don't know if we've ever experienced real tshuva. Meaning we can think, I realize it was wrong. I don't want to do it again. But to think back and say, that was terrible, I wish I would have never done that, that's a little bit more difficult. Yeah.
Like, does this mean like you have to feel like guilt and like butterflies in your stomach after you do a sin? Is it like necessary to get that feeling? I mean, we can't control our emotions. We can't say, oh, I gotta be guilty.
So that we'll discuss in a class on tshuva. Bezrat Hashem, next semester we start in Elul. David does real tshuva. And that's why the Gemara doesn't say David didn't sin. The Gemara says David isn't standing in sin. It's not that he didn't do something wrong in the history. He did do something wrong, but he corrected it. He did tshuva. It's not that we say, look, read it, Nathan HaNavi tells him he sinned, and we say, no, he didn't sin. The psukim say he sinned, but we say, no, he didn't sin. We say the sin isn't what you might think it was. Meaning, it's not that the way you read the text and you say, I know what David HaMelech did. It's not the way you'd read it simply. We have a tradition as to what really happened there. But at the end of the day, David also did tshuva. The concept of David is a concept of tzaddik. It's a concept that sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. A tzaddik isn't someone that's perfect, but it's someone that keeps getting up. David is tremendously modest. Even when he's king, he has his rabbim around, and when people would ask him questions, he'd answer them, and then he'd turn to his Rebbe and say, am I right? Did I answer correctly? Could you imagine what it is for the king to do that? He's asked the question, he gives an answer, and he turns to his Rebbe and says, was I right? He'd sit before the Rebbe like a student. The Rebbe would sit on a bunch of pillows, and he'd sit and learn. David has many, many traits that we can learn from. David is the one that gives us Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is eternity. Hanetzach zeh Yerushalayim. Eternity is Jerusalem. The strengths of David are the strengths of consistency, the strengths of eternal might. The Nasi is the representation of Mamlechet Beit David. And David's strength, eternity, goes hand in hand with Chesed. Chesed and Tzedek, they're both the responsibilities of the king. You want to connect with eternity? That's through Chesed. David could only be our first king and the representation of kingship out of Chesed. We describe authority as responsibility. When we speak about a person given the right to rule, to give the death penalty, to have a complete power, a monarchy, that means he has complete responsibility for the well-being of the people. When there's a famine for 3 years, David HaMelech realizes, it's because of me. All of the Jewish people are having a famine because of me. And David pays the price. There's a lot to discuss. We haven't yet discussed the concept of what it is to be a king. What is Malchut? And we haven't discussed other concepts of David's strength. But for starters, what we see David's kindness, we see David's justice, we see David's truth, the difference between David and Shaul are, one, in David's capacity to do true tshuva, and two, in David's capacity to recognize his fault on the spot. When the prophet comes to Shaul and says, what'd you do? Shaul said, I did exactly what God told me. And the prophet has to argue with him to prove his point. When the prophet comes to David and says, you've sinned, David says, I was wrong. That's David's greatness. His greatness is not in being perfect. His greatness is in his capacity to fix, to keep advancing. Life isn't about being perfect. Life and eternity and Yerushalayim is about the capacity for continued growth. The king leads us that way. These are a few thoughts. Of course, there's a lot more to add, but that's a starting note.
I don't feel like he's the first of any of these things.
The first to do tshuva on any sin of this magnitude, as I'll say, he is.
I mean, what about like?
Cain didn't do full tshuva. Where were you last night?
What about the Jewish people?
We mentioned that Cain's tshuva was out of fear of punishment. That was also Shaul's tshuva. We said that last night.
The Torah.
The Jewish people did not do complete tshuva, and we said that was tshuva of the masses, not the individual.
Israel did tshuva. He stood by his brother as
God. Okay. Yeah.
Ah,
so 1 second. There's more. Each of these points has to be expanded on. So you have to come to the full series of Sefer Shmuel or catch it online. There's a lot to be said. This is just starting points. David teaches us what true love is. David and Yonatan. There are a lot of things we learn from David. There are a lot of concepts that are found solely in David. David's strength, David's songs, David's emunah. There are a lot of things, but we're starting the whole book of Tehillim.
Is the culmination of all these traits in a single person?
That deserves its own class. It's not so simple. There's a lot more to the idea of Mashiach than that. We haven't yet discussed the prophecy and David's prophecy in Sun. There are a lot of points we haven't yet discussed. So, I'm saying no. You understand? We're taking a person who is one of the biggest giants in Jewish history, and we're saying, okay, well, now why is he special? Okay, so there are a lot of points why he's special.
Well,